base running and base stealing will be there every game, and it will be there every year, regardless if you have a great athletic club or not. So if you want to help develop the consistency of your offensive team every year, become a base stealing and a base running coach.
Welcome back, coaches, and thanks for taking our call. You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse. This is our podcast where we're connecting with some of the best baseball minds in the game today. We're excited about today's episode. It is certified audio gold. Before we get to that, first and foremost, on behalf of the American Baseball Coaches Association, let us take a quick moment and sincerely thank each of you guys listening in. We're excited about your positive feedback around this podcast. We're excited about delivering new topics and new coaches, new minds through this podcast format. What we're really excited about is taking this information and you applying it to yourself and developing and growing as a coach, positively enhancing your players and your program success. But we're also excited about growing the game of baseball with you. So thank you for listening in. We're excited about the coaches that have participated in our live Twitter chat called hashtag ABCA chat. It's been a great format for us to connect with guys from all over the world, network together, share information together around the topic we discuss on the podcast, and it's been a huge hit. So we hope that you're looking out for those. Check out our Twitter account at ABCA1945. We'll be releasing those dates and times. You'll know exactly when we're having our next ABCA chat. And again, thanks for supporting our great association. We're looking forward to Anaheim, our ABCA convention, January 5th through the 8th. We hope to see you out there with us. So as with this podcast and the rest of one that we have moving forward throughout the fall, we're going to be building up momentum towards our convention in Anaheim as we're having featured speakers on every episode of the podcast. You're going to have an opportunity to get a glimpse, listen into their topic and what they're going to be talking about on the main stage as we really try to build up and move towards our big convention. You can join over 5,000 baseball coaches that are going to be part of our ABCA convention there in Anaheim, California, January 5th through the 8th. We want you to be there with us at the end of this episode. You have plenty of information on how to get registered for this and make sure you've got a spot to come join us at convention. My name is Jeremy Scheninger, and I'm your host for Calls from the Clubhouse. And with this episode, we sat down with ABCA Hall of Famer Mike Roberts. Mike is well known throughout the coaching community as being the leader in base running and base stealing. Former University of North Carolina head coach for over 20 years. He's been the head coach of the Catuit Kettleers in the Cape League for a number of years. He also serves as a consultant for the Chicago Cubs, helping their minor leaguers and major leaguers learn base running, be better base stealers. We sat down with Mike and we talked through all aspects of base running and base stealing, the fundamentals inside his system that have led to a lot of success, including his son's success, Brian Roberts, on the Major League Baseball level. But we get into the timeline on how to implement this on the high school level, the college level, recruiting characteristics we can look for of guys who could be great base stealers. And you'll also hear Mike talk through all the real fundamentals of how to steal bases, put your body in a position to be a much better base stealer. It's going to really help your program. It's going to help your players. It's going to help you move towards more success and an aggressive base running plan. Again, we know you're going to enjoy the episode. Thanks again for listening in, and we appreciate and value what you're doing for the game of baseball. All right, coaches, we're sitting here with ABCA Hall of Famer, former North Carolina head coach, and then been the head coach of the Catuit Kettleers for the last few years. We're talking with Mike Roberts, who is one of the premier base running and base stealing minds in our game, and we're excited to have him on the call. Mike, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm wonderful, thank you. Sitting here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and watching the Cubs A Club play, and they're on a 10-game winning streak, so it's just finished a Cape League season, so I'm all into baseball every day here.
That is great. While you're on it, talk a little bit about the consultant with the Cubs and how great of an experience that's been, and maybe some of the obstacles that you've kind of encountered trying to teach the pro guys your system.
Well, the first thing I'd tell you about, I was scared to death to go into pro baseball after my son had played 14 years in pro baseball. He said, "Dad, I don't know if you fit or not." And I said, well, I'm going to give it a shot because I love these people with the Cubs, and from Theo Epstein to Jed Hoyer and all the guys all the way down through all my bosses. They have been phenomenal the 3 years, and so it's been an incredible experience, not only because the Cubs organization is growing and beginning to win at all levels, but because they allow you to teach, and that is what I love to do, and I know all coaches love to teach, and this organization allows their minor league instructors to dig in and teach. And so the base stealing and the base running and now a new sprint program has got me extremely excited. So I'm grateful to have the opportunity to work for the Chicago Cubs and also coach for the Cotuit Cattleyers. So I'm for a really old guy here, I'm having a blast.
I was going to say, I'm going to say it for you. You're living the dream.
I really am, to be able to coach the elite college players in Cape Cod and to be able to coach all these wonderful players, of which I've got five or six or seven former Cotuit Cattleyers in the Cubs organization. I got three catchers and two or three pitchers. And
wow.
So it's real. Yeah, I am living a dream. And but it's all based on teaching. Opportunity to me comes about for any of us coaches. If you'll always teach, people will see that you love to teach. And that's kind of where these opportunities come from.
That's well put. I'm glad we got that that said. What I love about this opportunity to get you down on this podcast is not only are you an ABC Hall of Famer, but you've been a lifelong member. You are very passionate about our association, and I'm very proud to say we're excited to know that you're going to be on stage in Anaheim with us. And I know our coaches, your clinics are very well attended, very popular because of your opinions on base running and base stealing and how easy it is to implement this plan into our programs. But I'm really interested, Mike, if you can, for our listeners, just talk about your ABCA experience and, again, looking forward to Anaheim and getting out there in California. But talk about your experience as a member of our association.
Well, I can very honestly say it has been one of the keys to any success I've had and getting to know coaches nationwide for the last 40-plus years. Coach Walter Rabb, who is a former president of the ABCA, when I left pro baseball and came back to get my master's at the University of North Carolina, first thing he said, I'm taking you to the ABCA convention. And we left, I think it was January 1975.
Wow.
And we got off the plane in St. Louis, and it was 5 below. He introduced me to so many wonderful people, going back to Rod Dado and Bobo Brayton and so many, Ron Frazier, and so many people that were also heavily involved in the ABCA.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so appreciative that Coach Rabb, who, again, I think was one – if he wasn't there the first year ABCA was founded, it was right around that time. I don't know if he's in that first picture ever taken. But he believed in the ABCA, and he got me as a young coach to believe in the ABCA and getting together. So 2 years later, when I was 26 years old and became the head coach at the University of North Carolina in 1976, I jumped into the ABCA and later became the Division I chairman and was fortunate to be able to sit in on the board meetings. And it's just been a phenomenal experience. And then since 2009, I've been blessed. This will be my third time to speak since 2009. So, and I'll also say this, I'll kind of close this portion with, I told you this morning I was helping one of my young assistant coaches in Cotuit this summer to get a job in college baseball. And he's just finished his master's degree, so forth. And one of the coaches that I was on the phone with this morning, several, and yesterday, a lot of the initial meetings with those coaches has been at ABCA meetings. Yeah. And then you get to know them, you text them, you talk to them, and then you feel comfortable calling them because that is the one place every year that you get to see the coaches, particularly now that I'm not coaching every day at the collegiate level. So I would encourage any young coach, amateur, as a professional, if they're a Legion coach, a Babe Ruth coach, whoever they may be, and young college coaches and high school coaches to join the ABCA.
That could not have said it better myself. That's a great testimonial, Mike. We appreciate that. So here's a glance. If you're a listener and you're cluing into this, and you know who Mike Roberts is, and now you've got kind of a brief history. We're looking forward to Anaheim and him being on stage. And this is kind of be the crux of the conversation around what Mike does best and why he's known as one of the best minds around base running and base stealing is going to be this clinic. And we're going to kind of dive in and give you a little bit more insight. What's great about the convention, you get to see him do this on stage, you get to see the presentation for itself live in person. But we're going to give you kind of the audio version. And where we're going to start is we were talking before we got started about the real distinct difference between base running and base stealing, and as a coach, separating those two and teaching them both on different levels. And if you want to dive into that, start with base running and what, you know, we talked about the sprinter program. Dive into that and how important that is to the fundamentals of our game.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to do that. Base running is when you, after you take the swing and you run in a straight line to first base, that is the beginning of base running. And then if you hit a double, you hit a triple, or if you're on first base and you're running from first to third or second to home, that's base running. You're, as I demonstrate to younger players, younger coaches, you know, you're running around the bases. Mm-hmm. And that's one set of instincts that you need to have, is how you run around the bases. The base stealing is how you operate between the bases, between first and second, second and third and home. And you set up every scenario in your coaching. So I encourage coaches to break it down that if you're practicing, let's say, four times a week as a high school coach and you're playing twice, that two of those four practices, you have 20 to 30 minutes of base running, and you go over every element of base running. Maybe on Tuesday, you go over everything that happens once you leave first base. And then on Thursday, you go over every element that happens when you leave second base. And then maybe on Wednesday and Saturday, if you're practicing, you do base stealing at two of the bases. And so you break them apart. As far as the sprint program, I now, in everything that I write, is I categorize baseball players as sprinters once they drop the bat. Mm-hmm. So how do we then set up a sprint program to help these young men and even young women that are playing baseball at a younger age? How do we teach them to run like a sprinter in the Rio Olympics this week? Because so many young people today don't enjoy running. They actually, you know, they're always in a van. They don't even ride their bike as much. And running is a chore instead of a privilege. And we want to teach them to enjoy sprinting. But you've got to learn to run in a straight line instead of running east-west. The example I would use would be, we want to teach pitchers to throw directional north-south toward home plate and not east-west. Well, we want runners to do the same thing. The fastest way between two points is a straight line. So instead of their arms going east-west, we want their arms and their knees to go north-south. So it's three programs. It's a sprint program that youngsters can work on every day, a rhythm program, a balance program, and then running around the bases and then running between the bases.
Give us kind of a broad perspective of your system. Let's stay on the base running in terms of specifics of what are you really trying to get across to these coaches, and what are we trying to implement to our players that help get this system in place in terms of the specific fundamentals inside of just base running, and then we'll get into base stealing in a second.
Base running, the first thing we want to do is we want our athletes to have the same stride at all times as they run around the bases. You see an awful lot of players today that are going to short stride it, stutter step almost all the time when they're approaching bases. So to begin to implement that sprint program, even if a coach is not comfortable implementing a quote sprint program like you would, like a track coach would, is that you ask your players to keep the same stride so that when they make that little question mark cutout, in going to first base or rounding second base and third base, that you keep the same length stride. That's the first thing that you want to do in base running, is as if you're filming your athlete and let them watch that video, is that their strides are almost identical when they're touching bases. We also want to stay in as straight a line as we can between the bases. So base running, as we round first base, then we want to stay as straight And as long as we can, going straight before we make that cutout again, we have a tendency in our sport today to kind of make the bases a complete circle. And we want to eliminate that circle. We want to put in some straight lines between the bases. Now, once we're that athlete is on the base, is we want them to think about, anticipate, before they activate the body, is when they take their secondary lead, they have already looked at the game situation so that instinctively they know what they should be doing, what's in front of them. And I'm going to give one example. Let's say it's late in the game. The team's down by two runs, and there's runners on first and second. There's a base hit to, let's say, center field, and the runner from second is definitely going to score, and the team is still down by one run. And the runner goes around second. He sees the ball fly over his head, and there's a cutoff man, and the ball is really high. And he says, oh, that's going over the first baseman's head who's out at the mound, going to be the cutoff. So he takes off for third. But what he's forgotten about is that catchers today are taught to come get the ball. If they know that the runner's going to be safe at the plate, they come get the ball. So the catcher comes and gets the ball and throws the runner out at third base. Mm-hmm. So instinctively, the base runner did several right things, but the thing he forgot about is we're only one run down, and he should have stayed at second base.
That's it.
So what we want to teach is not only that we want to be aggressive, but we want to also teach what's the game situation today. And that's one of the things that we're leaving out, is for base runners to understand the game situations.
Very well put. And again, I love the specifics inside that. It's a great example. Now get into the base stealing part of it. Give us the broad stroke of that system and what it entails. You talked about anticipation, but the specifics of this stealing program.
The base runner gets the first base. We want them to anticipate. We want that anticipation to go in their head that, man, I want to go to the right. And so you got to get that mind moving. And then the second part is what I call double A, and that's activation. We want the body to be activated. The one question that I ask all the youngsters that I teach, if I go to an indoor clinic in, let's say, Pennsylvania in the wintertime, and I've got 100 youngsters in this batting cage where we pull the nets back, is I'll phrase the question, how many of you, be honest with me now, young people, how many of you are as comfortable off the base as you are standing on the base? And if I have 100 campers, or if I have 20 college guys that come to Cape Cod, I'll usually only get one or two hands raised that say I'm as comfortable off the base as I am on the base.
Sure.
And that's what we've got to adjust. You'll never become a quality base stealer, even if it's first and second and a double steal and you're behind the guy, until you're as comfortable off the base as you are on. So we're going to work at first base, and we're going to work, and we're going to work until we can get everybody as comfortable off the base as they are on. So I break it down into, okay, let's start with a 3-foot lead. Are you comfortable? You can fall on the base. Your mother or grandmother can fall on the
right
base from 3 feet. Okay. And I know that's simplifying it a lot, but it makes it fun. You know, I'll tell them, you know, your girlfriend, you know, they can fall on the base. And so then let's go to 6 feet. And what I'm trying to get them comfortable also is their footwork. Most base runners who turn themselves into base stealers do not understand how important it is to have similar footwork all the time. So if we're going to take a 3-foot lead, which is one step, adult step, we're always going to take the 3-foot lead with our left foot. So it's odd. We got to think about a majority of our people are right foot dominant. So if we're going to take a 3-foot lead, we take it with our left foot and we turn ourselves inside. If we're going to take a 6-foot lead, we go right, left and turn inside. 9 foot, the numbers are left foot, even numbers are right foot. You know, the maximum most guys will take is a 12-foot lead nowadays for, you know, even good base stealers, the maximum will be usually about 12 feet with their left foot. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with anticipation. Then we'll talk about activation of the body. So we activate when we get off the base, and we want them to get as comfortable as we can. So we'll start with 3 foot, and we'll go to 4 and 5 and 6. and begin to, we'll put a right-handed pitcher on the mound, a left-handed pitcher, and the coaches need to be the pitchers so there's no playing around. And we'll talk about, you know, are you comfortable here? How do you get back to the base from there? How do you make the turns both right and left? Because what I teach is when you make the turn going right, you then become a sprinter once you make the turn. So we break it down, and again, we become a sprinter when we drop the bat and we run through first base. When we make a turn to the right, we then get in the blocks and we become a sprinter. And then once we get some comfort there and we teach how to make the turns right and left, then where I begin is activation. Now, for me, activation is I teach that every base stealer will then have body movement prior to any body movement by the pitcher. Now, this is where coaches get a little scared, is they worry about if I teach body movement by the base runner prior to body movement by the pitcher, okay, are they going to get picked off? Again, if you teach it correctly, you're going to get them so confident off the base that they don't ever worry about getting picked off. And that's how right. You become comfortable off the base. Now, here are the body movements. The old-fashioned base stealing when I was coming along was pitcher's leg, front leg, picks up, starts to move, then my body moves. Well, you can still do that, and a lot of people still do it. But what I teach nowadays to help young base runners to get more comfort and to get their body activated is I teach a leaning lead where we lean with both knees. We don't lean towards second base with so that our IT band is going on the side of our leg straight towards second base. We're leaning actually a little bit with our knees toward the pitcher at a 45-degree angle. Then I teach a walking leaning lead, and then I teach a controlled jump lead. Which Brian kind of invented at the major league level at first base. I had taught him for years how to have a jump lead at second base, which I learned in the Kansas City Baseball Academy, opened by Ewing Kaufman in 1968 and run by Sid Thrift for 4 or 5 years in Sarasota, Florida, is where I learned a lot of my early base stealing techniques. So I'm teaching now how to activate the body at both first and second base so that rarely is a base stealer ever activating after the pitcher picks up. We're activating prior to the pitcher picking up.
And here's what I love about our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast listeners is that this is as real as it gets to a call, because Mike is, I can see him in his living room demonstrating leads and talking his way through it. And he's hitting his cheek on the phone. That's what this is all about. I love it.
Yeah, I can tell you, I'm clueless about all this phone stuff, but I'm definitely moving around, that's for sure.
I guarantee it. I'm seeing you on stage. I just know how active you are. I love it.
Yeah, I think I'm the only 65-year-old guy that's still sliding headfirst on stage, I think.
That's a fact. Here's what I love about this. Take this, because your plan is so simple, and I love what these coaches in terms of how we apply this now to our practice plan. And you dove into a little bit, and you actually made reference to your indoor practice in terms of how to implement it. But give them a little more detail in terms of what maybe their system might look like inside their practice plan, and maybe some specific drills that you really like. And then conversely, indoors for our northern coaches or weather coaches that obviously they can take to teaching the system.
Well, that's a great question, and we only play as good as we practice. Mm-hmm. And my father, when I was real young, he was a mom and pop lumberyard, and he didn't know a lot about baseball at all. He never actively played except a little bit in the barnyard in North Carolina. But what he did understand was if we played two games a week and those two little 6-7-inning games took 2 hours each, that was 4 hours of playing time, that we needed 8 hours of practice. That we needed twice as much practice as we did playing time. And I think that's what we need to make sure of today, is that we're practicing a lot more than we're playing. So if you break that practice down and you have a 2 hour practice and you give hitting 30 minutes and you give infield play 30 minutes, you know, you ought to give base running and base stealing 30 minutes. because if you get a single and you don't know what to do once you get on the bases, then you really are going to have trouble moving around the bases. So we need to make sure that every practice plan has base stealing or base running in that practice plan. Then from there, if you're outdoors, you know, you want to set up one day where you're doing everything at first base with base running. And then the next day you're maybe doing everything at first base with base stealing, and then move to second base, and then move to third base as you go through the week, each week, so that you cover each of the bases each week, both base stealing and base running. If you're indoors, for example, on base stealing, if I do a clinic up north in the wintertime, or I've even done it in Dallas, Texas, at a DBAT facility there where I take 100 youngsters, pull all the batting cages back, I'll put out about 8 or 10 rubber bases on the turf, and I'll have, you know, 8 kids, 9 kids, 10 kids in a line, and then put a tape line about 12 to 18 inches from each base. That is where their hand will hit when we slide back in. I'll put a 3-foot line, a 6-foot line, a 9-foot line, a 12-foot line, because we'll go out to 12 feet as our max on base stealing. And that's where we'll dive back from the 12 feet for youngster 13 and up. I'll do it at 9 feet for youngsters 12 and under. And so we'll have lines of 8 or 10 bases. Then I'll also have them walk those lines out. And let's say that I have 50 to 100 youngsters. I'll work on what I call the dancing, the rhythm work of teaching them base stealing. And I'll have them use their right foot only in kind of a dance step. I'll have them use their left foot only in a dance step. I have them shuffle back and forth, right, left, right, left, right, left. And I do a lot of things with their feet, because the only youngsters that I teach nowadays, and I'm talking about very young, that their left foot and their right foot work almost the same, and that is ice hockey players in the Northeast and in the Midwest that play ice hockey and baseball, because those young ice hockey players have what I call ambidextrous feet. I remember hearing one basketball player at NC State years ago say it was amphibious. His hands were amphibious, but I think it's ambidextrous.
Yep.
And so they have ambidextrous feet, and you've got to equal out your footwork if you want to become a good base stealer and also to become a better sprinter. So there's lots of ways to do this, both outdoors and indoors, and you can have a blast. You know, I have all these kids, for example, nowadays, if I have them take a 12-foot lead and I teach them to get back to first base indoors, I teach falls to the base and not a step and a dive. So I just have them rotate toward the base and then dive, and their left hand goes toward right field. Their right hand goes to the middle portion or the back of the base. And so we'll just dive back to the base. And again, I'm eliminating the step. I'm trying to teach them the quickest way to get back to the base and how simple it is to be safe going back. So there's lots of ways to teach indoors and outdoors with it. And I'm glad to help anybody. They can call me or email me, and we can give them that at the end of the podcast. But I'm glad to help anybody with their practice plans.
That is great. That is awesome insight from you. And let's kind of get into basically the niche of our associations. And we got a lot of high school coach members. We've got a lot of our academy, you know, travel type guys. We've also got a lot of college coaches. We're going to dive into both sides of this because I think they're both uniquely different. But the high school coach, and we were talking before we got going here that you know, received a letter from a high school coach. He implemented this plan, how easy it was, but also, and I think for a listener, how successful you can be on the high school level by taking an aggressive base running plan and applying it to your approach to the game. But how do they implement it, and what are the specifics, and what are the success stories that you've had come across your desk from the high school level?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. I had pulled up a letter from a coach named Kevin Graver. He's at Phillips Academy in Andover, Mass. And I had one of his players in Cape League who attended Vanderbilt, Kevin Zomack, pitch for me in Cape Cod for 2 summers. And here's what he says. Long story short, last spring, my Phillips Academy team got off to a 1-8 start. We weren't scoring runs. The frustrating part was that every other part of our game was solid, but our offense was not non-existent. This is funny. Out of desperation, I purchased your self-published book, and devoured it. Now, this is in the middle of the season. The day it reached my mailbox, the next day in practice, we set about helping our base runners feel, quote, comfortable off the base, which I've already talked about. We taught them how to take a lead, and we drilled them with the proper footwork, diving back at both first and second. The true life changer, though, was the jump lead to second base, timing up and anticipating pitcher's looks. We worked on it for a week and then greenlit our guys to steal third base, telling them that if they had the timing footwork, bye-bye, it would work. So go for it. Take off. Our players were tentative at first, which is true of everybody. The true turning point was we had a runner at second. He went for it. He got thrown out, though. Our guys held their breath, and for the first time in my coaching career, I said, hey, great job. That's what we want. We want you to be aggressive. And after that, they all bought in. So they went down the ladder. It says, I've never seen a team so pumped. We started stealing bases. We started winning games and talked about, you know, we even started stealing third base with two outs because we could score so many bases. To finish the story, we started the season well, 1-8, and went on to win 9 of our last 10, and we earned a playoff spot.
Wow.
And this is how quickly that high school coaches can turn a program around if they'll just buy in and teach their youngsters that at the high school level, there's not a lot of guys that do a great job holding runners on. The control is not fantastic. Sometimes you don't have a catcher that has a great arm and they can put all of it together and you can dominate a game at the high school level as well as that you can do it at the college level. But you got to buy in and you've got to allow these youngsters to make some mistakes. And once you do that, these kids will get comfortable. They're not going to get chewed on. And then they can get, again, comfortable off the base and they'll really start to run, and you can turn your total program around.
That is awesome. I hope high school coaches are listening to that. And what I love about it is, it, like you mentioned, it comes in onto the college game because you could dominate in some college environments by having an aggressive base running plan. So almost the same question, success stories on the college level, but also when we talked before we got going and you just instantly caught my reference was, it's not as a college coach, as a recruiter, you don't always have to have a program that dominates on the base paths and have a group of guys that are all 6'6 runners. You could get a 7'0, a 7'2, but it's a guy that has high IQ, and you instantly said, that's my son, that's Brian Roberts, that's who he was. He was a guy that had great IQ. It's an unmeasurable, it doesn't look like he's a good base runner, but his IQ takes him to a different level. So what are those characteristics that a college coach should be paying attention to?
Well, great questions again in regards to this. There's a young man named Matt Tallarico who actually spoke at the convention a couple of years ago, and Matt bought into the system that I'd kind of developed. Matt was at Dayton as an assistant coach, and they started stealing bases like crazy. He's now moved on to Wright State, and Matt is teaching this everywhere, and they stole 120, 130 bases, I believe it was at Dayton, like 3 or 4 years ago. And Matt and I talked a lot about this, along with Chad Holbrook, the head coach of South Carolina, who played for me. And one reason I recruited Chad at North Carolina was because Chad could fly. He was really a good football player in high school, was kind of an average baseball player, left-handed hitter. And I taught him the system when he came to North Carolina, and he exploded. What you look for, and I think that dual sport athletes still have the best instincts. I would encourage coaches, there aren't a lot of them anymore, but to bring in as many dual sport athletes as you can, guys that play basketball, baseball, football, baseball, hockey, baseball, because your instincts are better if you've played multiple sports. That's one of the things I would look for. If I was college coaches today, I'd go to Canada and I'd recruit as many hockey players as I could. And I say that sincerely. I have an agent friend of mine, and he goes to Canada and recruits lots of baseball players for the draft. Justin Morneau, those type guys, because they have great feet. The second thing I would look for is youngsters, again, as you're watching a game, is usually a youngster that makes a phenomenal defensive play, something that's kind of unusual, and he shows an instinct on the defensive side, will normally carry that over into the base running side.
Okay.
No matter what their speed is, you're looking for someone who all of a sudden you see an instinctive side in a game that you're recruiting. You can't replace instinct. It's almost impossible to, it's just hard to teach that. The other thing I would encourage coaches to do is when you have your teams, high school or college, let them take their shoes off, whether you're in the gym or you're out in the outfield. I do this on Cape Cod, and you play pickle. You put tennis balls in their hand, and you go back to backyard baseball, and you haven't played lots of pickle. And this will teach them to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, which is what you want them to learn to do, because it will help them instinctively if you play a lot of pickle.
Wow.
So if you're running around neighborhoods and you find kids playing in the yard, which there aren't that many of them anymore, you see a wiffle ball game in a park, go recruit those guys because they probably got really good instincts.
Yep.
and so it's really important to do that. I talked to a lot of coaches like Andy Sawyer when he was at Texas A&M a few years ago. He asked me to come down and help the A&M guys. And they did a phenomenal job of running the bases and base stealing when Coach Sawyers was there. He's now just become the new head coach at Southeast Missouri State. Mm-hmm. Andy and I talked yesterday. And, for example, Andy asked me to come down, and Rob Childress, their head coach, is their pitching coach. And even in fall games, Coach Childress was trying to stop from stealing bases because he wanted his pitchers to learn how to do that. So Andy was a little frustrated. And so my daughter lives in Dallas, so I drove down to College Station and worked with the base runners one afternoon for a couple hours. And that day, they were 6-for-6 in stealing third base in the scrimmage later that day. And all I did with Andy's base runners is as Coach Childress's pitchers held the ball, the base runners got stagnant and they stopped moving their feet. So you want to have rhythm in your base stealing. And that's the reason I teach dance steps out on the base pass with them to get rhythm. The base stealer wants to control the pitcher. And Brian was really good at controlling the pitcher instead of the pitcher controlling him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know that you're really beginning to have a base stealing game, when that pitcher begins to pay a lot of attention to you at first and second base. So all I did was unlock Andy's base runners. I just unlocked them, and I kept their feet moving either right or left at second base while the pitcher was standing there, and I teach them what to do with the pitcher's head, and that day they were 6-for-6 in stolen bases in the scrimmage. So, again, it's rhythm, and these coaches like Coach Sawyers bought in, Matt Tallarico, Chad Holbrook, Tim Corbin, who's won a national championship in Vanderbilt's program, was in the probably top five in the country. Tim and I have met many times to talk about base stealing. We met in Knoxville, Tennessee one time. I drove over where I live in Chapel Hill. He's in Vandy. We met halfway and spent the whole day on a high school baseball field going over base stealing. Gary Gilmore at Coastal Carolina that won the national championship this year. I have lots of Gary's players in Cape Cod. And I had his shortstop, Michael Paez, last year play for me in the summer of 15. And Michael was a shortstop this year on the national championship team. Gary Gilmore is a base stealing machine, as you noticed in Omaha.
Sure.
They run the bases. Vanderbilt runs the bases. I think this is the statement I would like to make to all coaches. Base running and base stealing will be there every game, and it will be there every year, regardless if you have a great athletic club or not. That is, it will be there every single year. And so if you teach base stealing and base running, your program, in my opinion, will be much more consistent from year to year to year. When you're not running the bases and you're not stealing bases, many times your program will be up and down, up and down. So if you want to help develop the consistency of your offensive team every year, become a base stealing and a base running coach.
Boom. That is knowledge. That is a great statement. I'm glad that is out, because you couldn't be any closer to reality for coaches in terms of building consistency. That's phenomenal stuff. You kind of made reference to it, and we were talking about this before we got going, and I'm excited to hear you dive into this a little bit. But we were talking about You know, a lot of coaches just aren't comfortable with teaching base running or base stealing because, like you mentioned, they maybe weren't one as a player, or they haven't been around great teachers that they really feel comfortable getting that information out. It might be very uncomfortable for them. But what I love about it is you have some tips and advice for those coaches, but you also implement with your pitchers, and you make them get on the field and do these as well, do these drills, do these practice plan segments, because it forces them to understand, attack the running game a little bit better, how to be better on the mound when you do have the ball in your hand. Talk about that in terms of helping coaches become more comfortable, but also your implementation with the pitching staff and all developing them as well.
Yes, I have all my pitchers, when they come to KCOD, they do all the base stealing segments with our actual offensive players, and they have a blast. They actually love it. I mean, some of these guys, when I get them as elite college players, I mean, they honestly become pitchers at such a young age. I use the statement, I know you haven't run the bases since you were in diapers, and they laugh and they have a great time, and they have to do all the leads at first base. I actually don't worry about them getting hurt. I do have them actually fall back to the base and learn the distances that runners can get off the base and get good leads. The other thing I teach them is that with a right-handed pitcher, once a base stealer is approximately 7 to 8 feet with their left foot off of first base, very few right-handed pitchers can see movement. So what I'll do is I'll have one of the pitchers go to the mound. I'll have another pitcher take a lead to about 8 feet with their left foot. Their left foot is 8 feet from the first base bag. And then I'll have them lean, and I'll ask the pitcher, what did you just see? And many times they'll say nothing. Well, the base stealer just got a leaning lead at 8 foot, and the pitcher didn't even see the person lean a little bit. All right. Then I'll have the pitcher take his stretch again. I'll have the pitcher be at 8 or 9 feet, and I'll say, okay, give me a little control jump lead. Now, what that control jump lead is that the pitcher has his feet shoulder width apart. Okay. His right foot will take a little jab step, and he'll replace his right foot with his left foot. So it's about a 12 to 18 foot little control jump. And I'll say, what did you see? And some pitchers have their left shoulder so much toward the plate, the guy will say, I didn't see anything. So the guy just got an 18 foot control jump, and the pitcher didn't even see him move.
Wow.
And so what I'm trying to show, particularly right-handed pitchers, is that what base stealers can do, and they don't even know they're moving at first base. And it really helps them to get an understanding of what I need to do with my eyes, with my shoulder, and it's really helpful to all of them in regards to that. And we do the same thing at second base. We have them take a look at those type things in regards to that. So, and I'll give you one example. In 2008, I had a pitcher named Nick Hernandez from the University of Tennessee, whose father was a first-round draft choice back in the late 70s, early 80s. Nick was a great kid from Miami playing at Tennessee. He came to the Cape, and he went through all these base running drills. And there was a center fielder for Falmouth that year who's in the big leagues by the name of A.J. Pollock. Great kid out of Notre Dame. Great kid. And he had been from center field all season. He had been watching us steal third base on the Falmouth club. And we got in the playoffs, and it was one game apiece. The score was 3-2 in the eighth inning. And I had always told my pitchers from working with them that the best pitch to always steal third base is always the first pitch. Well, AJ hit a double, and he had been watching all summer trying to figure out what we were doing with our jump leads, and he tried to steal third base on the first pitch, and Nick went inside
of course,
picked him off.
Yep.
And I asked Nick after the game, I said, Nick, you had not gone inside the entire summer, 40-some games. Why did you go inside? He said, Coach, it went back to the preseason practice. You said, always the best pitch to steal third base is the first pitch, and I thought I would try it. And he picked A.J. off, and A.J. had been watching us from center field the whole year trying to figure out what we were doing. And so that's what it'll come back to. If you teach your pitchers, it will help their instincts and to learn how to hold runners on.
Perfect. And then go back into the coaches in terms of those guys that aren't very comfortable. What advice would you give them? You know, you mentioned earlier, reach out to you specifically and ask questions. But what else could you give those guys to get more comfortable teaching this plan?
Is they've got to study it. It's like, you know, anything else. I started my doctorate at 54 and I had to go back and study. I mean, you've got to buy books and start with the basics, whether it be mine or it be somebody else's, or take video today. There's so much video out there. And, or, you know, they certainly are welcome to call me. I have coaches call all the time, particularly after I do clinics. And I did Indiana and Pennsylvania and Texas high school clinics the last two winters. And I have so many emails on my phone where I've sent them 25 steals that that Brian did with the Orioles that I put together. Or I've sent them, or they'll call me and say, "Coach, try this in practice, but I'm struggling. I'm not sure how to teach it." I think that, like Matt Tallarico did, you got to sit down and talk to coaches. That's one of the great things about the ABCA convention is that there are so many coaches that are willing to sit down with other coaches. That's part of the fun is of 4 days is getting over in a corner and three or four coaches or two coaches get together and just talk base stealing.
That's it.
That is, you know, I love seeing coaches over in the corner because I know that they're having a great time. And so I would encourage some of the greatest people I've ever met in college coaching has been at ABCA conventions where I finally said, you know, I'm going to walk up and say hello, you know, to Ron Frazier or to Skip Bergman. Or the, you know, the iconic coaches that you say, you know, God, I don't know if I can approach Ron Polk.
Right.
You know, the historic coach of Mississippi State. And what you find out is that all of them love talking to you because that's the reason they're outstanding coaches. So don't hesitate to walk up and talk to coaches. And that's the reason instead of staying in your room and, you know, and not being out and about, coaches need to be out of the room. They need to be down on the display floor where you can talk to so many people that have booths and so forth. And again, that's the reason the ABCA convention is the greatest baseball convention on earth.
That is great. Here's the last little bit, because I think we want to try to get as much detail as we can, and you and I were talking. It's tough to do it through a podcast, but there are definitely some things, some cues that we can help kind of arm our coaches and then ultimately arm our players with. You know, we were talking about specific times. We all know the math inside of times of the plate and obviously catcher pop times, but, you know, we were talking about the on-field practical use of this plan. You got to be able to negate the slide step. You've got to be aware of defensive adjustments. Give us kind of some insight into that, but also just some quick tips off how to read a righty and then quick tips on how to read off a lefty that our coaches can take with them.
Okay, great. Let's talk a second. Let's go to second base real quick.
Okay.
The game has really changed now that about 90 to 95% of all throws at the college level up and maybe even at the high school level are taken at second base by the shortstop. They're not taken by the second baseman anymore. And there's so many shifts and there's so many left-handed hitters nowadays. So there you need to teach base runners how to get a feel for the shortstop. And you just got to go out there and spend hours letting base runners back up, push the shortstop back off of them a little bit, get them to listen for footsteps, all those type things is so much fun in teaching the base stealing aspects of it. When you talk about the timing of it, what I teach is footage. For example, at second base, if you know your footage at second base, how big your initial league is, how big your jump is, where do you have to get to negate the clock? Where a pitcher going to the plate and a catcher throwing to third base, it makes it impossible to throw them out. So you break it down into leads and then footage after lead, and what kind of jump are you getting a running jump into that. At first base, I'll give you a great example of when my son Brian was playing for the Orioles. He had always had a great jump lead at second base. Brian spoke with me at a 2009 convention in San Diego, and we talked about the jump lead. But what he began to do with the Orioles was he was the only guy running for the Orioles back in 04, 05, 06. He came up this small control jump lead at first base. And the reason he did it was because everybody was slide-stepping on him because he was the only guy running for the Orioles. And so he looked at the clock and said, okay, average guy, 125 to 13, you know, obviously the guy's 14, you're going to run like crazy on him. Mm-hmm. You're going to run on submariners because they're slow to the plate. But when a guy's a 126, and then all of a sudden he slide steps and he's a 112, Brian came up with the little jump lead prior to that pitcher's picking up his any movement with his lead leg, because then Brian could go from 3-4 maybe from his lead to second base down to 3-2-3. Well, that pitcher was going from 126 to 112. So with the little control jump lead, Brian negated the slide step. Wow. And so he could still run with a guy slide stepping. Mm-hmm. The same thing with a left-hander. You know, a left-hander looking right at him, he learned to jump in his face instead of just standing there looking at him saying, I'm scared of you. No, I'm going to tell you I'm not scared of you. You know, I can walk and lead, jump lead at first base right in your face. And, again, your clock has come into play and sports analytics has come into play, money ball has come into play. But in reality, base running's never changed. From Ricky Henderson, from Lou Brock, from all the great base stealers, is that you take your strengths, you can take the clock, find out a way to negate the clock if somebody's slide-stepping you with a little larger lead, a little bit of a movement yourself prior to them, and base stealing can still be base stealing no matter what sports analytics says.
Coach Roberts, this has been a phenomenal opportunity for our listeners to really gain some insight into your base running plan. And again, we're excited to get you on the main stage out in Anaheim. We know you are too. And how can our coaches reach out to you? Give us the kind of the pedigree information that they can touch base with you and obviously get their hands on your books, your videos. How do they get a hold of all that stuff?
Well, they can. Thank you very much. They can go to CoachMikeRoberts.com, and there's a lot of information there and videos. I have two books out on the market. You Can't Steal Second Base, Keep Your Foot on First, that you can buy through Amazon. That's got a picture of my son, Brian Roberts, in an Oriole uniform on the front of it. That's kind of basic. Has a DVD in it as well. I also have a book called Base Running with Mike Trout on the front of it, which you can buy through Amazon. But they're welcome to contact me. Some coaches I'll send a real short video to. It's Roberts555@AOL.com. That's Roberts555@AOL.com. I'm happy also to send a copy of the sprint program I have built for the Chicago Cubs as a consultant. That will help them teach rhythm and sprinting. I'll be glad to email that to them. So contact me. My goal in life, the rest of my career, is to help young people and young coaches reach their goals and dreams, and I'm happy to help in any way.
I heard a great coach once say, if you're willing to put your email or your cell phone out, you must really mean what you're talking about. And obviously you're a man of character, and we're so thankful that you're passionate about our great association, Coach Roberts, and we're passionate about you and what your information you're giving to our members. So thank you so much for being on the calls from the Clubhouse Podcast with us, and thanks and best of luck the rest of the summer with the Cubs.
Thank you very much. This has been a pleasure, and I can't wait for Anaheim.
What a tremendous podcast. That was packed full of great information. If you're looking to improve in base running and base stealing, not only as a coach, but also for your program's sake and success on the field, this was the podcast for you. Big thanks to ABCA Hall of Famer Mike Roberts, again, one of the leading minds out in our baseball community on this topic. It's great to get his information out and the exact specifics of what he's teaching and how he's teaching it, and again, the success stories around his system. Some of the best quotes inside this podcast weren't just about base running or base stealing. It dealt with the impact that the ABCA has had on his coaching career, his network that he can call upon to help other coaches connect with jobs, full of great quotes that we're excited to get down. And again, Mike, thanks for being on the podcast with us. If you enjoyed this episode and you're interested in previous episodes, we've had on some great guests so far. Anybody from Steve Springer to Alan Jager, Butch Thompson, Eric Cressy, Zan Barksdale. We've had a host of guys on that have been tremendous, very popular episodes, and we hope that you dive into those previous episodes and become a loyal subscriber to our podcast. You can go over to our website, abca.org. Click on the resources tab at the top. Calls from the Clubhouse Podcast link will be there. All of our episodes are listed. You could also head over to iTunes. You could find ABCA Calls from the Clubhouse. You could subscribe, and every time we put a new episode out, roughly about every 2 weeks throughout the remaining fall months, It will show up on your phone. You'll have it there ready for you to listen at your convenience, and we hope that you do that. If you're on social media, we are too. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook at ABCA1945. You can find us on there. We love and appreciate your engagement. Reach out to us, tweet at us, send us messages so we can connect. We're also excited about ABCA Chat. It's a live Twitter chat format that we're using to connect with coaches from all over the world, allow some networking opportunities, but most importantly, sharing information, making each other better, again, surrounding the topic around our podcast. We're going to avoid Monday Night Football and move those ABCA chats to Tuesdays. Again, if you follow our Twitter account, ABCA1945, you'll see these announcements, you'll see the date change, and we hope that if you haven't already, you'll join us for our ABCA chat. You want to find me directly on Twitter? I am at CoachSheets3. You can also email me directly, Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at abca.org. We'd love to engage with you and see what we can do to help make these podcasts and these chats better for you and give you some more information. We hope that if you are listening in, you're a loyal ABCA member. You joined the over 8,300 coaches this past year that were loyal ABCA members. But if not, September 1st starts our new year of membership, 2016-17 membership. And we hope that you're looking forward to that date. You're going to be one of those guys that signs up on the very first day as a brand new member of the ABCA moving forward. You want more information on our membership, our benefits that go along with that membership, head over to abca.org. All that information will be there waiting for you. There's also convention information. Our big convention this year is in Anaheim, California, January 5th through the 8th. You can join over 5,000 coaches that are going to be in attendance. We're excited about this, getting out to the West Coast, connecting with those coaches, but sharing a weekend's worth of baseball knowledge. The world's largest baseball convention, the world's largest baseball trade show. If you're a baseball rat and you love this game, this is the convention for you. Also around our convention, we give away the Turfus Field Maintenance Award. If you're proud of the work that you've done to your field or you're a program and field that's in need of some work and some help, apply for the Turfus Field Maintenance Award. Deadline for that is October 1st. We'll be giving out that award winner at our convention. We hope to have you there in attendance. Also, Diamond Kinetics has a technology scholarship. They're looking to give out to somebody who's using technology very positively in their program or a program that wants to use technology. And again, that deadline is October 1st as well. We'll be giving away that award at our convention too. We hope that you look into both these. More information's on our website. Again, abca.org. Thank you so much for listening in, guys. We hope you really enjoyed this episode and our previous episodes. We hope to hear from you very soon. And in the meantime, thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.